This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 21st, 2020. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 139. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and Pacific Northwest. The Is It Just Me commentary. The Big Deal feature. Hear Canada's Information Commissioner and a journalism professor testify to the House of Commons Government Operations Committee. How the coronavirus pandemic is ruining the access to information system and democracy in general. Plus, I'll award a virtual Nanaimo bar to those making a difference. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or is it about time that the NDP minority government under Premier John Horgan finally got back to work in the legislature? The 98-day drought is over on June 22nd. The legislature adjourned after passing a $5 billion emergency bill on March 23rd. Apart from some committees meeting by web conferencing, there has been no question period, no accountability in BC for almost 3 months. The House of Commons and other provincial legislatures in Canada found a way to meet, but not BC, where Premier Horgan has taken a back seat to the unelected Dr. Bonnie Henry. A couple dozen MLAs will sit in the House, with the rest joining in on web conferencing. The press gallery has cut a deal with the NDP to send a pool reporter and camera to some news conferences. Otherwise, it'll be questions by phone. Before the pandemic, visiting reporters like me were welcome at the legislature on day passes, but not for the time being. Not even with a mandatory mask, hand sanitizer, and physical distancing. That is why I will not be there on Monday. Another case of the erosion of media access rights under the guise of health protection. It may never fully be restored to the way it used to be. Later on this edition, hear about the access to information crisis on the federal scene. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news.
What? Dr. Henry says, we're gonna have to wait to vaccinate. So just stay strong and sing this song. You gotta wash your hands. Don't touch your face.
Clip from John Mitchell and his Vancouver independent single, Do What?
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
Yonhap in the Korea Times. 7 in 10 Koreans think their society is deeply discriminative. The National Human Rights Commission of Korea unveiled the results of its first annual survey on human rights conditions in the country, conducted with more than 13,000 adults across the country between August and September in 2019. Asked about the degree of discrimination in society, 13.7% of respondents said it is very serious, while 55.4% answered somewhat serious. On changes in the human rights situation in the nation, 62.4% said it is improving, 15.4% said it is getting worse. Sharni Kim and Adam Stephen in ABC News Australia. Cooktown's Indigenous people helped commemorate 250 years since Captain Cook's landing with reenactment. The Black Lives Matter protests have stirred up anti-Captain Cook sentiment around the country, but Indigenous people in one Queensland town say they are still committed to commemorating the 250th anniversary of their ancestors' first encounter with the explorer. The Cooktown Reenactment Association has commemorated Cook's 1770 landing annually since 1959, during the Discovery Festival. Cooktown's Expo 2020 Festival to mark 250 years since Cook's arrival was postponed until next year, but the association still wanted a small event for the actual anniversary this year. In the LA Times, LA County Health Department opens inquiry as SoFi Stadium COVID-19 cases rise. 18 people at the 298-acre development are known to have contracted the illness. 13 of the cases have been announced since May 27th. About 3,000 people work at the site each day. Work on the stadium paused briefly early this month after an iron worker fell at least 110 feet from the roof and died. The California Division of Occupational Safety and Health is investigating the incident. After several concerts at the stadium were canceled because of the pandemic, the first major event is scheduled to be the preseason game between the Rams and New Orleans Saints on August 14th. The Chargers play the Dallas Cowboys at the stadium 2 days later. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
You gotta help your neighbors all across this land. And the frontline workers who fight to keep us safe, they are brave souls. By their courage I'm amazed.
Burnaby City Councilor Joe Keithley of DOA and Mayor Mike Hurley with We're All In This Together.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
Como News. Tensions in Capitol Hill mount as residents, protesters clash over access, crime. City crews installed 4,000-pound concrete barriers to open a lane of traffic around the CHOP zone, formerly known as CHAZ, so residents can get to their homes, businesses can operate, and emergency vehicles can respond to any issues. But some protesters decided to block the open traffic lanes, although they later opened them. Neighbors said they're starting to mobilize to figure out what they can do to get city leaders to listen to them. Some residents have temporarily moved out of the area, while others have installed security cameras. James Drew in the Olympian, Inslee orders furloughs for most state employees as state revenue plummets. More than 40,000 state employees will be required to take one furlough day per week through July 25th. After July, employees will be required to take one furlough day per month at least through the fall, the governor's office said. The two actions, canceling the general wage increase and instituting furloughs through November, together will reduce spending by about $55 million over the next year, according to preliminary estimates. April Lawrence of Czech News. Grocery graduation. Salt Spring comes up with creative way to celebrate during COVID-19. Armed with carts, the grads sauntered through the country grocer store impeccably dressed, picking out their favorite treats, not for themselves, but for the local food bank. The grad committee took the money it was planning for the original party and gave each of the nearly 100 graduates $15 to spend on whatever items they wanted to buy for the food bank. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. The Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. The Canadian COVID-19 Accountability Group, an ad hoc coalition of whistleblowers and transparency experts, reported in May about the sorry state of democracy in Canada during the coronavirus pandemic. The already suffering access to information system worsened at a time when it is needed more than ever. The group also exposed the lack of broad and effective whistleblower protection. The problem? Governments enacted emergency legislation and became more secretive and paternalistic. Canada's Information Commissioner Carolyn Maynard appeared on June 19th before the House of Commons Government Operations Committee.
Canadians have a right to request information from government through access to information requests to federal institutions. This is a quasi-constitutional right. The right of access and the need for transparency have not been suspended during the pandemic. On the contrary, in this current extraordinary context, transparency and the well-being of the access system are more important than ever. Major decisions with huge budget implications are being taken every day. New measures and programs related to the economy, public health, and safety are being implemented on an almost daily basis. Canadians require information about how issues, policies, programs are being managed and developed in order to hold their government accountable. Given that the Office of the Information Commissioner operates within the Federal Service Public Service, I am very aware of the operational challenges the pandemic poses to federal institutions. Nevertheless, because transparency is the foundation of trust, and because the access system is a pillar of government accountability, Canada's leaders must take all necessary measures to ensure they are mitigating the impacts of the pandemic on the right of access. This includes ensuring a properly functioning access to information regime where decisions are being properly documented, information is well managed, and access requests continues to be processed. I would like to outline to you some of the factors that are creating barriers to the functioning of the system during the pandemic. Most public servants have been working from home since the middle of March, not always by choice. and many have limited access to their networks or the tools they normally have to do their jobs. Providing access to information is not treated as an essential service to Canadians in almost all of the institution's business continuity plans. In this situation, it can be challenging to manage information, capturing it and storing it in government repositories, especially when access to network is limited to non-essential staff. In many institutions, the transfer of information is outdated. Documents are still being sent by mail, CD-ROM, and other mainly paper-based processes, which requires access to scanners and photocopiers. While some ATIP units are now fully operational, others have suspended operations completely. Most units are positioned somewhere between these two extremes. Such limited operations fundamentally restrict the government's capacity to respond to access requests and respect their new legislative obligation to proactively disclose some information. There's other factors at play, but these are the major limitations that cannot be ignored, as they significantly affect transparency and delay, compromise, and ultimately erodes government's accountability to Canadians. Although the pandemic has brought many new challenges, and it has also created a window of opportunity for bringing essential changes to the operating model of government and the culture that underlies it. I will continue to press the government for tangible action and results on this front. In closing, I would like to reiterate that openness and transparency in government has never been more important than it is during the pandemic. The government needs to commit to proper resources and innovative solutions to ensure the right of access for all Canadians. Let's not forget that access delayed is access denied.
Also testifying on June 19th at the Government Operations Committee at the House of Commons via web conference was Sean Holman, professor of journalism at Mount Royal University in Calgary. Holman, a former investigative reporter in BC who has been a guest on the Breaker.News podcast, is a member of the Canadian COVID-19 Accountability Group. Holman told the MPs about the solutions proposed by the group.
My research focuses on why we value information in democracies and the history of our country's freedom of information laws. I am also, along with Mr. Cutler, a member of the Canadian COVID-19 Accountability Group, an ad hoc coalition of experts who joined together earlier this spring to recommend reforms to Canada's whistleblowing and freedom of information laws within the context of the pandemic. So it's from these two places that I'll be speaking today. I'd like to begin by briefly discussing the crucial importance of information to Canadians at this moment in history. Generally speaking, we value information for two reasons: control and certainty. With information, we are able to make better decisions about the world around us, whether it's in the voting booth or the checkout line, thereby controlling public and private institutions. And that information can also make us feel more certain about the world because it allows us to better understand it. During an emergency, the need for information accelerates. That's because Canadians want to make the best possible decisions to keep themselves safe. And they also want to ensure governments and corporations are doing the same thing on their behalf, especially when it involves a significant expenditure of taxpayer dollars. The costs of not providing this information are severe in the post-truth era we find ourselves living in. And that's because if there is an information gap, there's a substantial risk it will be filled with misinformation and disinformation. The Government of Canada has in some ways tried to provide such information, but in other ways, there are numerous documented instances where it has failed to do so. And because of our broken access to information system, there is no easy or quick means for Canadians to challenge these refusals and obtain records or data the government won't voluntarily disclose, which was the whole entire point behind the Access to Information Act in the first place. That's why the Canadian COVID-19 Accountability Group has recommended the government be legally required to proactively release a number of broad categories of unredacted records within 15 days of them being prepared, including health and safety inspection reports, public health research, and government contracts. We are also recommending major reforms to Canada's whistleblower law, as this committee has done in the past. Last month, we saw how it took Canadian soldiers to blow the whistle on deplorable conditions in Ontario nursing homes. At the time, Premier Ford said that was because you find cracks in the system by living the system around the clock every single day. And in making that statement, he has eloquently articulated why we need to better protect public and private employees who see wrongdoing in their workplaces. We recognize that such reforms, which should include financial protection for whistleblowers, will take time. And that's why we're calling on the government to publicly declare that it will protect anyone who reports public and private sector wrongdoing related to the crisis. And we further recommend the creation of a COVID-19 ombudsperson who can provide advice and support for these whistleblowers. Canada's Access to Information Act currently ranks 57th compared to 127 other similar laws around the world. Its Public Servants Disclosure Protection Act has been criticized for being in violation of international best practices. It shouldn't take the COVID-19 crisis to change this. However, if it does, such reforms will help preserve evidence-based democratic decision-making at a time when it is under threat. And I would urge the members of this committee to take immediate action on this very important issue.
Conservative Kelly McCauley.
What kind of teeth do we need to add to our laws so that, you know, these ATIPs can be put out at a timely fashion? We heard Mr. Cutler comment about the delaying tactics of these ATIP bureaucrats. We've heard, like, and I actually saw the memo, the email that came out saying 800-year wait for the Operation Anecdote information. What do we need to do to change the culture or to penalize people who are violating the access information regime that we have in that's meant to protect Canadians?
That's a really good question. I think one of the first things we need to do is take away the government's teeth. What the government has demonstrated over time is that it cannot be trusted with the existing exemptions and exclusions in the Access to Information Act. I think there is an urgent need to review those exemptions and exclusions and also establish a legal requirement that certain broad classes of information be released without going through the access to information process. Because really, those exemptions and exclusions are being used as a shield against accountability. And the other thing I would recommend, and which the COVID-19 Accountability Group has recommended, is that the performance pay for the heads of public bodies or their unelected designates be tied to the release of information and following through on our freedom of information laws that exist. So I think those two things would really help significantly improve the situation when it comes to freedom of information in Canada and truly create an open by default government.
Great. Let me ask you, we've got only 46 of 211 government agencies are actually currently fulfilling the ATIP rules right now. One of them missing from the list of those doing the ATIPs is the Treasury Board, which is responsible for ATIPs. What do you think that's, what kind of message is that sending to all of our departments when the chief information officer of the Treasury Board appeared in front of our committee, didn't even know it was an issue, and his own department is not even fulfilling the ATIP responsibilities?
It sends a very poor message, obviously. But this has been the history of governments in Canada. Opposition parties promise that when they come into power, that they'll be more open and accountable than their predecessors. And when they actually get into power, what we have seen is that the seduction of secrecy is too much to resist. We need to stop treating this as a partisan issue. We need to treat this as an issue of democracy that should unify us all so that we can better serve the public and make better decisions as a country about some of the most pressing problems of our time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it's an issue past governments as well. I was hoping our whistleblower report would actually get taken up because it was handcuffed the current government, but future governments as well, whether it be a Conservative or an NDP government, everyone would be locked in to respecting whistleblowers.
Absolutely.
What provinces are doing a good job right now with ATIPs?
I would say very few provinces are doing a good job when it comes to ATIPs. This is a problem that exists across Canada. It is not exclusive to the federal government. And part of the reason is because all our laws essentially come from the same primal pool from the late 70s and early 80s. And it's well past time that we actually change that.
That was Sean Holman, professor of journalism at Mount Royal University in Calgary. And before that, Information Commissioner Carolyn Maynard. They testified to the House of Commons Government Operations Committee on June 19th.
The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to a person or a group that is making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the high school grads on Salt Spring Island. Instead of a party during the pandemic, they went to the country grocer store and spent $15 each and donated the food to the food bank. That's the spirit. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. Those were the voices of Katrina Chen and Bowen Ma, with music by Bob Deeth, covering Avril Lavigne's Keep Holding On. All three are BC NDP MLAs. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 21st, 2020. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on June 21st in 1900, the Boxer Rebellion, China declared war on the United States, Britain, Germany, France, and Japan? Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.